evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Terry Burns. Burns is the youngest of the singing Burns sisters. She moved to Nashville over a decade ago where she forged a career as a songwriter. She's back with us for a moment with a new CD called Simply Terry Burns. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you, Tish.
Welcome back to Ithaca as well. Nice to see you here.
Thank you. It's absolutely wonderful being here.
Now, you're the youngest of 12 kids and a member, obviously, of a very well-known family. Your father was mayor of Binghamton, and your sisters are very well-known as the Burns Sisters Band.
Yes.
Was it a challenge for you to forge an identity being the youngest in such a huge family?
Oh, no. Just kidding. Well, yeah, because we all do the same thing. And I was actually in the Burns Sisters for 12 years, mm-hmm. and we did three records together, two on Columbia. And basically, after the big heartbreak of Columbia, I definitely needed to move on. My soul needed to experience new things and, you know.
So. But when you were a kid, you were obviously younger than your sisters. They used to invite you up on the stage and have you sing. Did they have to coax you, or were you born to entertain? Were you really into it?
I was ready. I was like, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, we used to sing for each other in the living room, and I used to sing with them, but it was too little. Like, they didn't have Marie around at one point, and Jeannie and Annie were learning how to harmonize, and they'd say, here, sing this part, and they taught me how to harmonize, and so... We do that, and we were in musicals together and things like that. So,
You were good. I was thinking maybe one would be kicked out of the Burns family if they didn't know how to sing.
No. isn't one that doesn't know how to sing.
I've heard that. Yeah. It seems remarkable to me that you guys all inherited that talent.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the fact that you packed up and went to Nashville about 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was the metamorphosis of wanting to go there and wanting to leave this huge family and this huge legacy?
Well, I didn't want to leave my family. I just really wanted to explore the world. It wasn't about leaving them as it was stepping out into the world and seeing how I would do on my own. I actually had gone to Nashville for a visit and got really good response for my songs, and we had just been through so much, and we had a lot of good years, and things were just getting stale, and it was just time for me to, on all levels, I needed for my personal self, you know, I just wanted, you know, like kids go to college, you know what I mean? It's really healthy for them, and it was healthy for me to go, and I went on my own as just me and got signed as a writer and got cuts and, you know.
Yeah, that's remarkable. Yeah. So, but when you first got there, I heard that you were waiting tables and hoping to forge a career. And it happened so fast, within months, right? You got signed.
Yeah, it did.
Tell us how that happened. While you were waiting tables, what were you doing?
What was I doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, you were sending songs.
I was very green and brave, and I sometimes wish I was greener and braver now because I was a little bit more forward. There's this guy I was waiting on, and I heard him talking. I'm like, oh, you're a songwriter. I'm a songwriter. I'm a singer. And can I give you my tape? And I had it with me, and I gave him a tape of some songs I'd written. And the next day, he said, well, I gave it to my publisher, and he really liked what he heard, and he might call you. And then, like, a few days after that, someone from EMI called me, Pat Finch, and asked me to come in for a meeting. And he wanted to know whose songs they were and all this stuff. And he said, well, I think you're really good. And he said, I don't think you're quite ready for a publishing deal yet, but I want to follow you as you progress.
Hmm.
And I actually got home, and I called him back, and I said, you know, I'm not ready for a publishing deal, but I know some people who are. And I introduced him to my sisters. And that was when we were still together. We were actually still together when I lived there. And they were very interested in signing the whole act, but the sisters wanted to go off and do Round of Records, and they didn't, after going through everything we went to, they didn't want other people telling us what to do.
Yeah,
and,
I understand.
And then I had written a song on my own, and it got cut, and so they wanted to sign me as a writer. They would have probably signed them eventually, too, but it was just the beginning of my journey on my own, and that's when we parted ways.
And then what kind of subjects were you finding to write songs about during those early days? Was it romantic stuff, or tell us?
Well, my first cut was called Runaway Train, and actually the Burns Sisters ended up cutting it.
Oh, that's one of yours.
Yeah.
I've heard that
one.
Yeah.
It's just a quirky little love song of falling in love too fast and running with it, you know? Not that I've ever done that. It
wasn't based on experience, right?
Oh, well. Anyway. Wasn't my title, but I could definitely go there in a heartbeat. I wrote about love. I wrote about breakup. I wrote about spirituality. You know, I wrote about whatever was happening in my life at the time. I have this one song, Driven by a Dream. You know, I was in my 20s and very... just wanting to be carried by that desire, and that was a fun song. But
And I actually notice on the new CD that you collaborate on all the songs. How does that work? Are you the lyricist? Or how do you guys collaborate?
Well,
it's usually three people. It's usually you and two people, right?
Yeah. Well, no. Sometimes it's two people. I don't. I have some three ways. A lot of my best things are three ways, and they. I mean, my friend Pam Rose, she said she's a huge songwriter. One of her best was written with like four or five people. Mm. It's like it doesn't really matter how many people. It's a matter of the chemistry.
Right, exactly.
And a lot of times I do end up writing a lot of the lyric, but then again, it just depends. Like a lot of times I'll bring in the idea, and I don't know. I can't explain it. But
you guys don't set up times where we're going to write a song.
We set up writing sessions, and we'll show up and we'll have a conversation, or I might have a title, and I'll say, this one line keeps going through my head, and what do you think? And I'll explain what I think it is. And I don't play guitar very well. Mm. I play well enough to where I said I want to move to Nashville and try this because I started, playing a little bit, but. I like writing with people who are really good on an instrument because I can sing and I have good melodies and I have song ideas and I write a lot of lyric. So if I have someone who's strong on an instrument, it frees me to go where I want. And some people just instinctively can feel what I'm trying to do with my song. And that's the chemistry. You don't know who you're going to have the chemistry with.
Yeah, I know. I had a conversation with Janicine about that because she doesn't collaborate that often. But when she does, it does have to be absolute chemistry
for it to work. And when you find that, that's why a lot of people write with the same people over and over again. And, I've written with some people I've written great songs with, and we'll get together some days and go, let's just go to the mall because nothing's happening here. You know what I mean? And we'll go or do our favorite thing and have lunch,
But find some inspiration somehow by just leaving it.
Leaving it alone for a while. And that's how it goes.
That's the process.
But it's not like, it's a three-way, so one of the people must be weak in the group. It's not that way at all. It's just, some of the best writers there do three ways a lot, because then you don't get bored. Because when you're writing regularly, it can just be like, it's just two people in a room staring at each other. And a lot of times when it's three, it has an energy to it that
I would think if you wrote alone a lot, too, you'd probably end up repeating all the time, not getting some fresh ideas that can be tossed around are with a trio.
Yeah, and you want to write with people who are going to keep the bar up, I like writing with people who don't just settle for whatever I say. They'll go, yeah, that's almost there. And I love it when they say it's almost there, because then it's like, I'll go, you're right, it is. And if I'm writing with someone who just wants to settle for lines and I go, I don't think it's quite it, I get bored writing with that person because it's just a so what song, I call them, or a lot of us call it. And I just want to be challenged and, just keep
the creativity level high. Yeah,
yeah.
I can understand that. Well, will you sing something for us?
Absolutely.
Tell us what it is.
I'm going to sing a song that was actually, I wrote it with someone one of the reasons why I want to sing it is because I wrote it from someone from Ithaca, Susan Longacre. Mm-hmm. She's a very successful writer in Nashville. And my friend Kathy, who went to Ithaca College, and she lives in Nashville. It's called Jesus and James Dean.
Oh, yes. And you're going to be accompanied
by
your husband?
My lovely husband, Ron Christie.
Okay.
While he takes me through the garden of temptation, he'll be the perfect combination. I'm looking for somebody, someone I've never seen. I know
prayers and all my wildest wishes, and heal me with his soft and sinful kisses. Optimistic, but I'm looking for somebody, someone I've never seen. I know all you girls will know exactly what I mean. He's divine, he's a devil, he's righteous, he's a rebel, he's somewhere in between Jesus and James Dean. Yeah. Oh,
lovely. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
That was great. That was great. I have to talk to you about, where did you come up with that? Jesus and James Dean. The two names together are astonishing.
I know.
Where did that?
It came from a conversation. I used to be housemates with Susan, and we were both single, and we were talking, and we were like, you know, my guy is spiritual. I don't want him so spiritual that he's like, celibate, but no, we were like saying that, we're like, we want someone like kind and loving into healing and stuff like Jesus, you know, what I mean? Someone who's, you know, a beautiful being, but we want him, you know, a little rough around the edges, you know what I'm saying?
A bit of a rebel, but a little, somebody who's benevolent and...
yeah, but Jesus was a rebel too.
You're absolutely right about that. But I found the two names. I would never entertain those two names ever showing up in the same.
I know.
But let's talk a little bit more about the CD. You had a lot of tragedy going on in your life and a lot of joy while you were making this and while you were finishing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about the challenges that you went through in your life.
While I was making CD, or just...
Yeah, and when you were finishing it up, I know your parents both died.
Oh, yeah, well, what happened is, I was just about to go in the studio, and my father got very sick, and he didn't die, but he almost died, and then I knew I was going to go in the studio anyway, no matter what happened, because I had to do this record, but he survived, but during... while he was unconscious, one interesting thing that happened was I knew I wanted to do a song that I didn't write, and my sister Annie, he was lying there with all these people around, and Annie goes, "What's it all about?" And my father goes, "Elfie," and he started,
really?
And the whole room is singing Elfie, and it was his favorite song, and we didn't know still if he was going to live or not, and it was just so moving to me, and I thought, well, that's a song I'm going to do for him. And that's how I ended up recording that song.
Uh-huh. And it's a lovely version, I must say. It's at the end of the CD.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, nice story.
And but my mother died not long after I finally printed it and put it out. At least she got to hear it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She died, and then 9 months later, my father died. But actually, what happened? My mother died right after I met Ron, my husband. But she got to meet him very briefly. And then I got married, found out I was pregnant, and 2 days after I found out I was pregnant, my father died. And I got to tell him, and I got to see him, which was amazing. But so it was just a jam-packed few years there.
Yeah, really emotional stuff going on.
Yeah,
yeah.
Real emotional.
Do you think some of that stuff that you went through will come out on a following CD, perhaps?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I would think so. Now, I've heard you say that you were rethinking your career and were getting burned out in Nashville. And,
mm-hmm.
and you talked a little bit about how the music business has changed so much there. Take us through what has happened. Small companies going out of business and so on.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I first got there, I mean, there's still small companies there, but they're just being taken over. Like, all the companies are turning into one big company. You know, like when I was signed to EMI, there were, you know, maybe 70 writers, and then all of a sudden there were... Actually, there were about 40 writers. And then all of a sudden there were like 95 riders, and then there were more, even more than that, and I just felt, and the guy who signed me left, and so then I decided to leave once my contract was up. Maybe I should have stayed, I don't know, but I decided to go somewhere else. And then thinking, oh, I didn't want to go through that. Then it happened at MCA. Then Universal took over. And so it just seemed, and people were getting dropped everywhere. And
yeah, I would think it would be very detrimental to creativity when this becomes corporate like this.
Oh, it's very corporate. And yeah. I was seeing in really good, like people who had hits on the radio couldn't get publishing deals, or they get offered publishing deals that don't, are just to laugh at. You know what I mean? It's insulting, the deals they would offer. So it's really nice to not need a deal.
Yeah, so more and more people are going independent, and there are other reasons to do that, to have creative control.
Oh yeah,
and so on. So maybe it's a good thing.
Oh, it's ultimately for me. I mean, I decided to go to massage school and get my license, so I would never go into a publishing company ever again and need them. That was my goal, and I achieved it. And so
that's what I was going to ask you about, the massage therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You went into that so you'll have a fallback, right? You have a career you can...
Well, actually, it's two reasons. One is I've always been drawn to it since I was a little kid. And it would confuse me, to be honest with you, because I would see myself doing it even when I was with a record company. And I see it as gardening. It's very grounding for me, and I just love healing work, and it's just something else that I do.
So it was a natural metamorphosis.
Uh-huh. I had wished I'd gone years earlier. It's... Anyone should go. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I couldn't quite get the connection, but it is a creative healing kind of thing, just like singing, I would assume, is. I'm not a singer, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, but it does bring in income, too, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. I think most singer-songwriters, sometime in their career, must find other ways of supporting themselves besides the business,
yeah,
unfortunately.
It keeps you a little more sane. I mean, you know, who knows, I could end up getting some number one hits and not need to do it anymore, but I probably will do it just for friends and stuff once my child grows a little older, because it's exhausting.
Yes. Oh, yes, I can imagine. Yeah. Well, I'd love it if you'd sing one more song for us.
Sure.
And tell us again what it's going to be. And
we're going to do a song called If I Fly.
Okay, once again, accompanied by Ron Christie.
Yes.
Some wings to my back and walk out that door, or I could fall in that same old trap of being safe and sound and bored. I've been hanging out on this limb so long, and I'm so over it. I might fall flat on my close my eyes, trust the Puppet Joe, reading my horoscope. It says the journey of a million miles begins with one small step. And I'm like, hello. I've been sitting on my butt, waiting for exactly what. I just got one life to live, and I could so what if myself till I'm blue in the face. So what if I'm afraid? So what if my heart breaks? So what if, what if, what if?
Great.
Thank you.
That was great.
Thank you.
You know what I wanted to ask you? Do you think you'll ever cut a record with your sisters again? I know you're thinking about coming back here permanently.
Oh,
possibly.
I don't know if we would cut a record. We'll probably do like a reunion gig, I would imagine, someday with all five of us. But, you know, we haven't really talked about it recently. I just sort of see us older going, come on, let's do all the songs we did. And we always... They did a Christmas record. I was going to do it with them. Because
that's a beautiful record.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yes, it is.
I love it. Mm-hmm. And actually, their new record is very good. After you buy my record, you should buy theirs. Just kidding. No, it really is gorgeous.
No, I would recommend anything by the Burn Sisters. Yeah. Any of you guys. You guys are really talented.
Thank you. They all have individual records, too. So back to what I was saying. We had talked about... When we broke up, it was like, okay, we're breaking up, but we're doing the Christmas record together. And then when they were doing it, it was a bad time for me, and I just said, go do it, you know. So maybe as a guest, something. I mean, they haven't ever mentioned it or anything. That would be the only thing I would think of, but I think three really works well.
Yeah, I think
you
it
know,
does, too.
Because it's... Yeah. A lot of people, it's just easier, you know, and I mean, it sounds great with more voices, but it's really not needed, you know? Mm-hmm. So I...
And I also wanted to ask you about your songwriting. You wrote songs, and other people, other artists recorded them, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Name a few people who recorded some of your songs.
Okay, well, Dawn Sears recorded Runaway Train, and a lot of them aren't known, but the thing is, it was sort of like what happened to the Byrne Sisters. We were released, and then something happened where we didn't make it, but I've had a lot of new artists, actually, some of them are known, Laurie White, David Kirsch, but they're all country, Ruby Lovett, River Road, Pam Rose, my mind is going blank now. I know there's more.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, well,
that's
thanks.
Great. And I, you know, I also wanted to ask you, while listening to your CD, it does look like you have adopted kind of a country flavor. Was that there before you went to Nashville, or was that something you adopted?
It was always there. I had always a little flavor of country in my voice. But I probably definitely, some people say I have a little bit of an accent now because I've
yes,
been
you
there
do.
For so long. But I've always loved country music. I mean, I don't love all country music, I have to admit. I like Emmylou Harris and, you know, things like that. I love, what's her name? I can't think of it right now. Never mind. Erase that part. Anyway,
so
but
you,
I like
so you've
all
been influenced
kinds
because
of music.
You like
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. And I grew up, I mean, listening to Linda Ronstadt and, you know, the Silk Purse was like, I remember being like 8 years old and listening to that record. But I had access to a lot of music in our house. I was obsessed with musicals, and then Carla Bonoff changed my life once I discovered her. It was like, oh my God, I want to be Carla Bonoff when I grow up, you know? So that was because she wrote all of my favorite songs and she sang so beautifully, you know?
Yeah.
And she was really depressed like I was.
Everybody goes through depression when they're a kid, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Well, I was like 18, discovered her. I'm like, you know, she wrote my heart, you know what I mean? And I knew I wanted to be a songwriter. Mm-hmm. I just loved great songs. And
you know, I think it does test the mettle of whether somebody's a good songwriter, if you can get through that stage where you have to write all those angst-filled teenage, I'm depressed songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm much happier now, believe me. But, yeah.
I also want to ask you something. I noticed on your CD you credit Jesus, you thank Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider yourself a very spiritual person or religious?
I'm a very spiritual person. Uh-huh. I would consider myself very spiritual. And, I thought it was important that I own that part of me to show that, first of all people who have the being of Jesus in their life are not right-wing and don't vote for George Bush. You know what I mean? Basically.
So basically you're talking about the fact that people who believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus are not necessarily
Christian.
Political either.
Yeah. Exactly. Uh-huh. I just wanted to say this is who I am, but I also study Buddhism and things like that, and I'm married to a man who's Jewish and a Buddhist. But my strength, or my main root system spiritually, is Christ, you know, mm-hmm. and I thought about it before I put that on there because I thought it's going to turn some people off and some people on. And I just thought, I'm just being myself. My only requirement for this record is I'm completely myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's who I am, and I think it's important that people... I was so ashamed to say that I was a Christian, you know, and I'm not going to be ashamed anymore. I don't want judgment on either end because I'm definitely not right-wing. I think Jesus was a rebel. He was saying, turn the other cheek. He was a healer, you know, and it's important for me to own
that. So you're trying to take back what you think is the original idea
of
Christianity. I think that's very brave of you in this climate.
Especially in Ithaca. Some people are like, what's wrong with her, you know?
No, I thought it was quite unusual. That's why I wanted to bring it up. But, I admire people who say, I'm doing this and I'm taking this back.
Yeah.
As something that, it has become perverted in some ways.
Oh, it has.
Many words have and many ideas have.
And there's a song on my record. I put one Christmas song on there called Holy Child. And it talks about, you know, this holy child is born. And I take it as every child is holy and Christ is in all of us. And he taught us to see the face of God in all of us, no matter what religion or what race. And, you know, I don't want to stand on a soapbox about it, but that's my belief. And it's just I just feel that he was a beautiful being, and I don't want to have to not claim him as mine, too, mm-hmm. you know?
How can people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you or order your music?
You can go to www.terryburnsmusic.com.
That's great. Well, we have run out of time, and I thank you so much for being with us.
Sure.
And I wish you well in the future, and we'll look forward to seeing you around town, I hope.
Well,
more,
thank you.
More so than just over the summer.
Oh, you never know, especially now with my baby. So, okay.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks.
Our audio producer is Tim Reppert at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. We are a project of the Women's Interfaith Institute in Seneca Falls. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And log on to our new website at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.